Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Boy, that's a fun word to say. I might have a spelling bee one of these days, and I'll give a quarter to anybody that can spell that. Ecclesiastes is the third book written by Solomon. The book Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, is the book that was written when he was a young man. And you can tell, because if you read Song of Solomon, the boy's frisky in Song of Solomon. Yes, so song of that's about his youth is when he's writing that. And then he writes a lot of the book of Proverbs, and there are a lot of people that add to the book of Proverbs. It wasn't just Solomon. It's not just his book, but there's a lot of his writings in there, and there's a lot of wisdom. You can tell he's getting older. He's getting more mature. And then you have the book of Ecclesiastes, which he wrote as an older man, and there was some realization that came into his mind and into his heart, because the first words of the book are, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Now that's a guy that probably has had some difficult things to deal with, because he came to the point of realizing that everything about life without God doesn't have any real meaning to it. But this morning what I want to talk about as we get ready to read from that is the inevitability of God's seasons, his seasons. Because we've come through a transitional time here recently where we've gone from the summer into the fall. And for a lot of people, fall's a great time. It's really nice. The cool weather, the leaves, and all that. I have to rake 447 million leaves out of my yard, and I don't have one tree. Not one. They're everybody else's. Anybody else deal with that? That is a time of testing for me. I'm out there raking those leaves going, I don't know why this guy doesn't come out and rake these. These are his leaves. I do it every year. Sorry, I just had a moment of confession there. I'll be all right. Just give me a minute here. But there are seasons not only in natural, in the nature of things, but there are seasons in our lives as well. Because time is something that surrounds us, obviously. Everything we do is associated in some way with time. God created time. In Genesis 1, 3 to 5, talks about how God created the heavens and the earth, and the light and the darkness, and all of those things were the first day. That's time. God created that whole concept. And so for us, time gives us structure in our lives. It's how we are able to be able to do the things that we do within an element of some measure of control. Time is about how we keep things in some measure of constraint. There's always a beginning and an end. We use it in order to be able to judge the things that we're doing. All of you looked at the Guinness Book of World Records. So many of those things are based on time. How long you can do something. How long you can hold your breath. All those things. We use time for sports. So we know when the game starts and when it ends. Except for baseball. That's why I love baseball. You can theoretically play baseball one game for the rest of time. You can play forever. I've never had that happen. There would be not many married people if that was happening. But time is what it is that gives structure to our lives. We even use time as a point of emphasis. Hey, hold on there a minute. That's a point of emphasis, using time. Gives us even a way out of things. You go, you're talking with somebody, you go, well, you know, I got to get going. It's getting late. So we use time in a lot of different ways. And within this, time has been broken down into various measured elements. And for us as Christians, and even within the church, seasons become something that's very important. Because a season is a period of time. And it's somewhat open. It's not like we go from June 1 to August 4th. That's a block of time. But a season tends to be more open. And within our lives today, the fact of the matter is this: God works within seasons. And what becomes difficult for many people is to be able to understand, when does a season of my life come to an end and when does a new one begin? How many times have you found yourself involved in something and it's just a struggle constantly, whatever it is that you might be involved in? And I'm not saying that the ease or the difficulty of something is the only marker that we use, but it is certainly true that when God removes himself from a situation and we decide we're going to stay in, is that going to be easier or harder to deal with? In my life, it's always been much harder. And sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is to be able to determine what that is, when those times come and when they happen. Katerina and I dealt with this a few years back. I had been serving as a volunteer at a church, and I had been given an opportunity to do a lot of different things. I'd been given an opportunity to teach, to preach, helping with platforming the services and all that kind of thing. And as I look back, God was obviously allowing me to get my feet wet in ministry again because I'd been out for a while. And as that time was coming to an end, and it was pretty evident to us that the time was drawing to a close, I was approached by some of the leadership of the church, and they said, we would really like for you to stay on and to be our pastor. And the decision that we had to come to with that was both a very difficult one and actually a pretty easy one. The difficult part was obviously we knew these people. We'd been there for 5 years, I think it was, 4 or 5 years. We knew them. They knew us. I knew the facility. I mean, they had a nice thing, just built a brand new gym. A brand new gym. That was the hard part. But it was also easy because Katerina and I knew that our time there was coming to an end. She knew and we knew that God had called us there for a specific purpose, but that it was only for a season, just for a time. And the season had a time to begin, and the season had a time to end. And if we had stayed, we would have walked out of what it was God wanted us to do. But that wasn't the only problem with that. If we had stayed, and you need to watch this, because when you're in places that you should not be, you are preventing God from doing what it is that he wants to do because you're in the way. Now, I'm not saying that God will not accomplish his will. Of course he will. But if we had stayed there and I'd become pastor of that church, I would not have started Remnant Life. If I had stayed at that church, the person who was going to be coming in to be the pastor would not have been able to come because I was there. This is why it's so important for us to understand seasons, that there are times that we start things and times when they come to an end. And it's an ongoing challenge. This isn't easy. It's difficult not only for us as people, it's also difficult for churches. Churches have a hard time with this as well. How many times have things been going on at a church and you just, you know, it's just like nothing's happening with this? How come nobody comes? How come nobody does this? How come the whole goal of it never seems to be met? Well, many times it's because we're involved in things that God said, that's done, and we don't let it go. And this is not about what churches do right and wrong. But what it is about is the fact that at Remnant Life and for each of our lives individually, we want to be so attuned to the things that God is doing in our lives that I'm going to know when the time's up. I know when this season of my life has come to an end. And it's not just at churches. How about a job that you were ever at? And it just, you know, for the last couple of years here, I don't feel like I belong. I feel like, if you're a Christian, you're saying, God, where is it I need to be? And he's talking to you, but are we listening to what he's saying? And if we are, we can begin to recognize that those things come to an end. An ending is not a bad thing. That's not always a bad thing. And as we look at this, we can become so busy at doing the things of God that we neglect the very purpose that God brings us into a situation. We can get so busy. I read a story. This was actually written by Chuck Swindoll. Some of you may recognize that name. He's a great writer. But he tells the story of this man in Dublin, Ireland in the 1800s who was involved in an activity. Something was going on, but he had to get to the train station to take a train, and he was late. And so he ran out of the building that he was in. He's a very important man, and he found one of, I guess, what are were the famous horse carriages of London or of Dublin, these taxis that they had that were drawn by horses. And the guy runs up to the guy that's driving and he says, listen, I'm almost late, drive very, very fast. And boom, he jumps in. Sits back, kind of closes his eyes. And after a moment, he opens up his eyes and he realizes they're going in the wrong direction. And it occurs to him that he had forgotten to tell the guy where it was that he wanted to go. And so he called out and he said, hey, he said, do you know where you're going? The guy looked back and said, no, but I'm driving very fast. We can get going so fast about things that we lose sight and we lose direction of where it is we're supposed to go. And in our churches today, we have got to be so careful that the places where we're spending our energies, the places where we're spending our resources are the places that God wants us to be. And as we consider that, there are ways that we can do that without it being that we get so bogged down in making decisions that we miss the moving of the Holy Spirit. Analysis by paralysis. Or no, it's the other way around. Paralysis by analysis. That's what it is. We can get so caught up in examining things and trying to make sense that we get ourselves frozen and we never move to the places that God wants us to be. So what keeps us in those places? How is it that we get bound in places that we should not be? That the season has come to an end? Well, one of those is this, is that we just have blind devotion to something. It's just, this is what we've always done. I've asked this question at some churches that I've been a part of. Why do we do this? And the answer is, because we've always done this. That's always something that we do. And there are a lot of places where the things that are done becomes the identification of who they are. That's true for people as well. My job becomes my point of identification. My success in a particular area, my athleticism, my wisdom, my intellect, all of these things become an identifying marker of who I am. And can I tell you that when we get ourselves pulled into desiring for other people to know who I am by what I do, I'm missing the point that I need to be known not by what I do, but by whose I am, by the presence of God in my life. I want people to know who I am not because I can preach, not because I'm the pastor of a church. I want them to know who I am because I demonstrate God's love where I go. I want them to know who I am because I know that there's compassion with a situation that's going on. I want people to know who I am because of who God is in me. Because without Him, I can tell you, I'm not somebody that people want to know. Because I've known that person. I've known me with God, walking in His will, and I've known me outside of God's will. And so for us this morning, can we understand and to know what it means to, boy, you're going to say, wow, that's an interesting reference for a church service. The song Hold On Loosely. Come on, you classic rock fans, you know this song. Donna's looking at me, go, seriously, you just said Hold On Loosely? Yes, 38 Special. That's who sings that song. You didn't think you were going to hear that reference today, did you? But the words of this song, I kept going back to it, you know, hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you hold too tight, what? You might lose control. That's true for Christians as well. If we hold on to the things around us tightly, there is going to be a loss of control. Because when God says something's done, it needs to be done. But if I'm holding on to it, I'm out of control. And I'll tell you, that just has spoken to me so clearly when I look back in the times of my life where I was not where I was supposed to be. I was involved in things I should not have been involved in. It was because I was holding on to something that God had said, that's done. Second way we get stuck in these things is just simply because of familiarity. It's comfortable. Comfort zones are not always a good place to be. We talk about comfort zones a lot, don't we? We talk about getting moved out of my comfort zone. And that's true. There are a lot of people that are very comfortable in the back of something, but if they were to then have to come up front, that's out of their comfort zone. Candace, you have made great strides. You thought I wasn't going to see you back here, didn't you? Candace is not really an upfront person, that if you gave her a choice, but she has stepped out of that to come and has become a very important part of the worship team. If we will allow God to take us into places that are somewhat unfamiliar, we will be amazed at the things that He will do. Another way that we get stuck is that we have success in things. As I've said to you, ending things are not necessarily a bad thing. Success is not always a good thing. Because for many churches, many Christians, when something goes well once, we want to do it forever. This is one of my things that I've always taught my boys. Because my boys love to laugh, love to kid around, just like I do. Laughter is important. I think it's a great gift of God. But I had to teach my boys the rules of comedy. Because if you don't, what happens? If you laugh at something a kid does, he'll do it what? 7,000 more times. And want this. So I had to tell my boys, guys, it's only funny once. That's all. You have to know your audience. You got to know who it is that you're being funny with. And if it doesn't work, don't keep pressing. You're done. Taught my boys this. My oldest guy actually told me that he taught somebody else this the other day. He said, I passed on your words of wisdom, Dad. I said, well, I'm glad I could help you in this critically important part of your life. But success does not always mean automatically repetition. Success does not necessarily mean that it's something that we continue to do over and over again. This is the point where we need to be coming to the Father and saying, God, that was great. Thank you very much. Do I do it again? And humbly ask him, what is it he desires for us? Now, let me just tell you this, and then I'll wrap this up. How do we avoid staying too long in the places we shouldn't be? You say, okay, Pastor Dave, I get it. There are times that start, there are times that end. I don't want to stay in the places where it's over. So how do we do that? Well, the first is this. We need to pursue Jesus passionately with everything that we do first. And the question that needs to be asked whenever we're going to do anything, whenever I'm going to say anything, whatever it is I'm going to do, my question is, who does this glorify? Who is this pointing to? Because if we're doing something because it points to us as a church or as people, we've got the focus in the wrong place. If we're doing things because we want to glorify God, if we're doing things because we want to be a help to someone else, and you know what? Nobody's going to know that I did that. Does that determine whether I do it or not? Romans 15, 5 to 7, Paul says this. He says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude and mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind, one voice, you may glorify the God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept, he says, or receive one another then, just as Christ accepted and received you. Why? In order to bring praise to God. Everything that we do should be to point people to God. Everything. And again, you've heard me say this. This is why I love Paul so much. The guy writes almost half of the New Testament. And you would think this would be some guy who's going, yeah, you need to follow what I'm doing. Paul said, no, don't follow me. Follow the one that I follow. That's where we want to point. Pastors need to point people to Jesus, not to themselves. Worship leaders need to be leading people to Jesus, not to themselves. And that's why I'm glad we have this man working with us, because I know his heart. But each of us, every single day, just need to simply ask, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Where's the glory go? Who's it pointing people to? Otherwise, we can stay out of this, not getting ourselves caught. As I've already said, we need to humbly pray and to ask God, Father, what is it that you want from me? Folks, that's not just a once a week or just once in a while or when I've got this major decision coming, yeah, I better pray about this. That's every single day. Our hearts need to be before him going, God, what's the plan? I do this regularly when I get up. Father, order my steps. I ask God, order my steps so that you direct me where it is I need to go. And everything I say and everything I do, let it glorify you. That's a great way to start the day. Just setting your mind and setting your heart the places that you want to go, and he'll be faithful to that. Next thing is then, too, is we need to embrace wisdom in the counsel of godly people. Godly wisdom. This may surprise you. It may not. I don't get to do everything I want to do. Not even here. I've got a wife who is very godly, who has great wisdom and discernment. And we talk about things together. I don't always get my way. My pouting time's down, though, isn't it? Have I gotten better with my pouting time? My pouting time is decreasing. But this is why I have a board of directors. This is why we have godly men and women that speak into things so that we can cover one another. Can I encourage you? Don't strike out on those things by yourself. Seek counsel. Bible says that there's wisdom in godly counsel. Now, I don't mean find somebody that's going to tell you what you want to hear. That's not godly counsel. As a matter of fact, most of the times, godly counsel can be determined by the fact that someone's going to say to you something you're not going to like, but they do it in love. And that's the key. They do it in love. And then, through all of these things, love is at the center. You've heard me say this before. I say it every morning when we pray together out here before we start. Love everybody wastefully. And to love somebody wastefully means that you give them so much love that it just pours out all over the place. You can get the vision of the glass being poured, the water into the glass, and you get up to the top, and then it just wastes all over the floor. Why? Because there's so much. That's how we want to love each other here. Because love defers itself to other people. This is one of the surest ways that if we're wise, we can tell what the heart of someone is that wants to come and be a part of what's going on up front. Because if it has to be them that's seen, that's not the heart that we want to have. You say, well, come on, Pastor Dave, what are you, like a mind reader? I mean, how do you know this if you look at somebody? We can tell. You can tell just by the fruit. You can tell by the heart. And this is why as a church, we want to guard, not against people, we want to guard against the things that take our hearts and our minds away from the things of God. But it starts here. It starts with our hearts. It starts before God. And then ultimately, what we need to understand is that all of time is in God's hands. It's all in His hands. It's all up to Him what's going to happen. You say, well, what, you mean we don't have any kind of input into what's going on? Of course we do. God's given us a free will. But here's the thing that's a little bit hard to understand sometimes, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. God is outside of our scope of understanding. God's not bound by what we can know and what we don't know. It's a word called, say it, faith. That's where faith comes. Because I don't want to just rely on me. I don't want my life to be contained only what I can get, what I can understand. I want to go before Him and say, God, You are the creator of the universe. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that You hold the entire universe in the palm of Your hand. Knows the beginning from the end. That's who I want to be in charge of my life. That's who I want to be worshiping this morning. Luke 12:25, Jesus is teaching. And He says, you guys are all worried about the things that are going on. He didn't say you guys. That's kind of my own little interpretation. But He said, you guys are all concerned about things that are going on. How many of you can add 1 hour to your life by worry? You can't. You can't change that time. And we read Proverbs again. We're coming back to Solomon. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge or submit to Him. And He will make your path straight. My friends, I'm tired of walking crooked paths in my life. I'm tired of the crooked paths. Now, does this mean then that everything is going to be perfect with no issues and no problems? And no, that's not, because we do have what the Bible calls an adversary, someone that wants to come and to take us off track. But I'll tell you what, if we have got our minds and our hearts focused on the things of God, we do not have to be taken by the enemy. The Bible says that He's a roaring lion prowling about, seeing who He may devour. He doesn't have to. We can have victory over those things if we're willing to submit our lives to Him. And that's what it comes down to with our time. Our time is not our own, certainly. The Bible tells us that we're appointed a day to live and a day to die. No one knows those times except the Father. But I can tell you this, within the measure of that time that I am given, I want to do everything I can to be used to the fullness of who God's called me to be. And the only way that's going to happen if I'm walking in the seasons that He's appointed for me. I've experienced many times in my life, times when I knew that the presence of God was gone. Why? Because His grace was gone. The grace was no longer there. And again, it doesn't mean that because it was difficult, God was not present. God walks us through those difficult times. Joseph, again, another great example of that. Joseph experienced some incredibly wonderful times in his life. Prime minister of all of Egypt. Number two man. And he was also sold into slavery by his brothers. He was falsely accused of trying to rape his boss's wife. Spent 3 years in prison on a charge that wasn't true. And yet through all of those circumstances, he never lost sight of the fact that God was present with what was going on. That's why Joseph could move from season to season to season in his life. Didn't mean it wasn't difficult. Didn't mean it was always great. But he did it with God's presence, because that was what was most important to him, to stay within the center of His will. That's my prayer for us this morning, is that whatever circumstance you're dealing with this morning, whatever it is that you're dealing with, good, difficult, uncertain, not sure, you got some uncertain times ahead for you folks. The road's getting there, but it's not clearly laid out. How do we stay confident? How do we stay secure? How do we keep our peace and our joy in those times? By keeping our eyes focused on Him. I promise when we do those things, we're going to see those seasons come to a place where we are understanding what it means to be able to walk in the grace and the mercy of God. That even in the most difficult times, I know what it means to be able to stand and to be able to know that He's with me every single day. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time together today. I thank you, Father, that you have brought each and every person here, and I thank you, God, that you love us. And Father, whether we acknowledge you or not doesn't change the fact that you love us. And so, God, that kind of unconditional love is what I'm asking, Lord, that we would desire to want to show to people around us. Father, I pray that you would give wisdom to each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. I pray, Father, that when we're walking whatever circumstance we're in, that we will ask you, God, tell me when the time is up. Tell me, God, what's next. Tell me where it is I'm to go. God, I don't want to just wander through my life aimlessly. I want to walk in season to season, led by you, led by the Holy Spirit, so that I can walk in the fullness of all that you've called me to be. Father, I pray blessing over each and every person here. As they leave this place, God, watch over, protect them physically, Father, protect and guard their minds and their hearts, so that in all of these things, Lord, we can come back and say, listen to what God did for me. Look what he's done. We can share the difficult times. We can support and love one another, all to your glory. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, God, give you all the glory, all the honor. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.